everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Jake Ellenberger.
Yes.
T-Rex.
Hi.
Listen, we will get into my week and T-Rex's week in a second. The hot button, somebody in this room, and his not name is DJ, has a fight with Robbie Lawler. And he found out about it last week. Jake, tell us about your week.
My week was crazy last week. It was good, though, and it was my birthday. I have a new niece now.
Happy birthday to you.
She was born on my birthday.
Nice.
So that's kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So now we share, my brother Joe and I share a birthday with my niece, Mila.
Oh, that's right. It's his birthday, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually wish you a happy birthday, and then I was like, wait, it's your brother's birthday. I had to send two texts. Yeah. So go on, please.
So, and then I went and trained on Saturday morning, and I was driving back down from L.A. from Glendale, and Dana called me, and I'm kind of like, you know, not really sure how this conversation is going to go.
This can't be good.
You know, you kind of don't want to think like that, but it's hard not to.
When Dana calls, you're like, okay, what's this about Saturday morning? Why is he calling?
And he's like, hey, did you hear what's going on? No. And anyway, Tarek Safadin slipped a disc in his back. He's out. And we want to put you on the May card in Vegas.
Was it from hearing Lombard talk about uppercutting him? Did he have flashbacks from last week's podcast?
I don't know. And he said, we want you to fight Robbie Lawler in May 24th in Vegas. And I said, done. He's the number two guy, and I know Robbie pretty well. I've trained with him years ago back at Pat Millett's gym. Nothing but respect for the guy, and he's no secret. You know, he's pretty straightforward. You know, you get what you see, but he's definitely a dangerous guy. But I love the matchup. I love.
Are you gonna try to stand in the pocket and bang with him?
I'm gonna stand about two feet out, I think, and just
That's
swing.
A good place to be. That's a great place
and
to
just
be.
Just swing and see what happens. And maybe close my eyes.
Chin up.
Yeah.
Chin up, right?
Yeah. So.
A couple of things. Well, first of all, I like this fight so much better for you because Tarek, who you know is obviously a huge threat to anybody.
Yeah.
And I feel like anybody in the top 10 could beat anybody in the top 10. Even
you can even say top 15.
Even top 15, sure. Exactly. Which is what Condit's ranked, according to Lombard, number 15. But I think anybody in top, so everyone, but it seemed like you're ranked number 5 or 4.
Five, yeah.
Five. Mm-hmm. And Tarek was ranked, what, ninth?
I believe so.
So it's got to be like, okay, you beat Tarek, you're still kind of in that same number five. You beat Robbie Lawler, we're talking about a title shot, and you're a guy who's been in this for, what, 15 years? I mean, you've been doing this for nine years.
Almost 10 years, yeah.
Almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, you didn't take a class last week, and all of a sudden you're here. I mean, you've been doing this day in and day out, working your ass off, so it's about freaking time, but it's amazing.
I think it's a good opportunity for you. Because the Tarek Safadin fight, if he would have lost, then he lost to a ninth ranked fighter, and if he won, he beat a ninth ranked fighter.
Yeah.
So this is like you beat Robbie Lawler, which you will. Mm-hmm. What's the next step?
Yes,
title shot.
That's the thing. At the end of the day, like
positioning yourself,
you're not going to get an easy fight, especially you know when you get into the top 10.
You don't want an easy fight.
Exactly. Even if they're not well known, like Tarek, that's not an easy fight. You know what I mean? If you know this guy, and he didn't win a world title in Strikeforce, or he's not in the top 10 because he's okay. You know, so it's like, you know, we're in the top 10. You know, might as well fight the best guys.
Here's my advice: look past them.
Keep your head up.
Head up.
Yeah.
Get into a couple bad relationships beforehand. go out there and just give it the old college try. Yeah. Don't even train.
Some tartar and quail egg
to get you relaxed. Yeah. We'll all pitch in and get you some booty the night before.
Yes, you'll finally get laid on the way to the octagon.
The only way Jake is getting laid is if he gets off a plane in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's funny. I like that. That's good. Getting laid. I like that. So,
man.
No, but seriously though, Jake. Real advice. If I were you, I would not. I know the fans are going to want to see you two guys just throw bombs at each other. Yeah. Don't do that. Robbie Lawler, I've never seen a guy get hit before by Johnny Hendricks and laugh. I mean, granted, Hendricks' hand might have been screwed up. It might not have had the same power. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen anything like that before. I never saw a guy get. I mean, Johnny Hendricks starched. John Fitch. I mean, he knocked people
Martin
out on
Kampman.
There.
Yeah, Kampman, a few guys.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, dude, boring wrestling. Get the win. Just win.
Yes.
And I know that people are going to hate me for this. They're like, what the hell? Pull an Askren. Pull a Ben Askren. And,
at the end of the day, just get the W.
Yeah, just get the W. That's my advice.
No, I agree. There's so many, you know, so many variables. And I've grown a lot in the last year. But, you know, like I said, Robbie's a guy who's going to come at you. He's going to come forward. And it's almost, I wouldn't say easier, but it's a little bit better to fight a guy who's not just going to be defensive moving backwards. You know, it's kind of like it creates more opportunity. So,
yeah, like what Rory did to you, kind of.
Exactly. You know, he's going to, you know, jab and be real defensive and keep his distance. So it's just harder to fight guys like that. But I've always been a fan of Robbie Lawler. One of the first guys I trained with, which is funny, back in like 2005. And nothing but respect for him. So
it's going to be a great fight. I can't wait. Obviously, I'm on Team Ellenberger. I like the guys that I don't know Robbie Lawler. I like his training partners. I like Woodley. I love Woodley. I love Lombard. But I'm on Team Jake. And
100%.
You know, 100% Team Jake. So
well, that kind of sucks. You're not going to be able to fight with your brother in April, though. That blows.
I know. You know, it is. But it's at the same time, I can kind of focus on him. I'm still going to be there to corner him. Obviously, it's. He's coming out next week to train for a couple weeks.
That's to me, it's a blessing. You were going to corner your brother, go back, and get ready for your fight.
No, I wasn't going to be able to corner him.
But let's say your brother loses. I don't think he's going to lose, but say he does lose. That's going to be in your head. You're going to be pissed off.
Yeah,
it's got to change your game plan somewhat. I mean, you're going to want to take it out on the guy, your opponent. You might get angry about it. What if he loses a bad decision? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think it's better to have just your fight just to focus on.
Focus on your own thing.
Sure. No, and trust me, I've thought about every possible outcome that would happen. And I wouldn't, it'd be hard to, you know, because I'd be watching his fight and I'm warming up and it's like, it'd be hard to like stay calm and relax. You know, I knew that, but it's just, you got to almost train mentally to focus. And it's kind of like there's you got to be able to deal with distractions. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's what it comes down to. And you know, regardless of the outcome of his fight, I would still have to perform and you know, and I'm confident I still would be able to do that, but I agree, it's just less things to have to worry
about. I think you're better off, honestly, having your own fight. I remember even when whenever I'm focused on someone else, what they're doing, it's like out of your control. And I'm really happy for you, man. You're having a great week. You got an 8-fight contract. You got the big fight, a huge fight, and I heard you almost got laid. I heard there was a girl.
I'm not sure.
I didn't actually hear that. But
Emily Miller, though, she said last time I saw her. Well, first, anyway, she said Jake wanted me to make sure that you know that he gets him, that he gets ass.
Whoa, whoa! Oh, wow. I don't know about that.
And I was like, wait a minute, Emily, what are you telling me?
Somebody put a thing of the 40-year-old virgin and put Ellenberger's face on it. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
It said 29-year-old virgin.
29-year-old virgin. I had to pull over. I was driving and I saw that. I had to pull over and start crying. I was crying laughing.
Remember? Then you said, then you hit me with a text saying, "Hey, it's Ellenberger's birthday." And I was like, "Oh shit, 30-year-old virgin."
Oh, dude. Yeah, I was super. I'm happy for you, man. And now, how long's it been since you got? And honestly, I mean, it's been. I mean, so this week nothing changed. You just focused. No chicks.
But now that the fight is further out, you can get some now, right?
You have a date here and there, right?
Here and there, you know. Yeah, yeah.
You
I get it.
You got to slowly edge him into this. We'll get him there, you know. But the memes that you're texting us, these memes that these fans are creating, they're freaking awesome.
Oh, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so you know, the people that text the memes, I'm forwarding them to Jake, and Jake's writing back that smiley face with tears. So. But,
they're so funny. I love them.
Oh, it's so funny. And someone on the underground, his screen name is now Jake Ellenberger's Virginity, which I thought was he put that as his screen name. By the way,
username.
And just so you guys know, like, he's not really a virgin. So people that are getting upset with me going, you know, quit teasing him for being a virgin. Okay, it's
people are getting upset.
Well,
one person got upset, but he's in on the joke. Okay, so that's so we'll talk about that.
Tim Tebow is texting you.
Yes, Tim Tebow. Brendan Schaub, actually.
AC Green.
So, I had a decent week as far as chicks go. I did a show in...
43? 44?
No. How old was she? No, she was 90. And no, she was... What happened was I did a show in Scottsdale, right? And it was 90. I had a great time. And these girls come up to me afterwards, like, and one of them was a gynecologist, right? They're like, "Oh, it was a gynecologist convention or something." And I'm like, "They were in town."
Did you have a speculum with her?
Well, that's the thing, right? So
stirrups.
So I invite her back, and we're hooking up. And I was debating on whether or not I should, you know, go down and check out what's down there. And then I think
a gynecologist would be the one person that you probably could, because he's taking care of it. Like
that
you
was
would
my
think.
You would think
that
right?
was my thought too. Of like she's in the vagina business, right? So
she's in the business. You're an enthusiast. What could go wrong?
Right. Well, I go down there. It's like Afro night. I mean, it was like all mangled. I was like, "What is going
on?" Mangled.
It was rough, dude. It was a rough situation, and I was.
This is how excited he is.
I'm spilling things. But then
that wasn't a beer bottle, by the way.
So then, you know what? It's funny though. It occurred to me. I'm like, "Well, look, I'm in the comedy business, right? I do stand up comedy. After shows, the last thing I want to hear is a joke."
Right.
So this girl who's in the vagina business, the cleaning vaginas, the last thing she wants to do is
clean one.
Yeah, her own, right? So, and afterwards she was like, "I'm low maintenance." I'm like, "I can tell."
You're like, "No maintenance."
Yeah, this is, yeah, it was rough. It was, so that was my week.
My God.
Yeah. I had a funny
dangerous.
PJ.
It's like the garbage man that doesn't like taking out his own garbage. Right.
Or go to a dentist and his teeth are jacked up.
Like, you got like a registered dietitian who's like a fat guy. Like,
right.
Give me
your mechanic who's late because his car won't start.
It's exactly.
Personal trainer who just doesn't work out. Like, okay. Yeah.
That's what I dealt with. But whatever. You know, I took one for the team or me. All right. So there was another thing. There was another thing that was funny. So I was thinking about. I was telling someone a funny story. So these guys came to my show. BJ Penn, right? You know Gary Alexander. Gary, yeah, yeah. He used to work at Fighters Only. He's a good friend of mine. I love Gary.
Awesome guy.
So it's funny, like what people do when you meet. Like whenever I meet comedians or actors or whatever, I'm always like, but I meet fighters. For some reason, I become like a little bit of a nerd. Like I just get excited because I respect it so much. So. BJ Penn was on Gary's voicemail. Like, "Hey, you reached the voicemail of Gary Alexander. This is BJ Penn. Leave a message," right? So I'm in Vegas, and Gary's with BJ Penn, right? And I walk over, and Gary goes, "Hey, this is BJ Penn." I go, "Oh, I don't know what to say." So I was like, "Oh, you're the guy on Gary's voicemail." That's what I said.
That's how you knew him?
And they all started laughing. They were like, "That was the funniest thing." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, that was me." But I'm like, I couldn't say you're the world champion or you're the former
two different weight classes.
One of the greatest fighters of all time. I go, "You're the guy in Gary's voicemail." I don't know.
That's funny.
I thought that was kind of a funny story. I wanted to share
that. That is funny.
But he'll remember that.
Yeah.
More than someone if you would have been like, "Oh, yeah, you're a professional fighter."
Yeah, as opposed to, "You're the guy in Gary's voicemail."
Right. So way more funny.
Now, T-Rex.
Yes, sir.
You had the entire week I was getting updates about you being with the World Series of Fighting. You went to the fights. Tell us about that, please.
Oh, man, it was amazing, man. Just running around. I mean, I've been, you know, been hanging out with the organization ever since day one, and so way before day one even. And so, yeah, just going there and hanging out with all the different guys and reconnecting with old friends and stuff like that. Ran into Nick Diaz, and, of course, he said, "Yeah, here's my number, man. I want to do the show." And, of course, he didn't answer his phone today.
But Nick said, you ran into Nick Diaz, right?
Right.
And you actually, if people don't know, I've been trying to get Nate Diaz on the podcast.
Right.
Now, Nate Diaz is following me on Twitter. So he actually responded to a couple of the things. He goes, "Hey, man, every week I email Nate Diaz as if he's going to be on the podcast." I go, "Nate, man."
It is hilarious.
I go, "Nate, man, I look forward to having you on the show this week. Hey, man, call in at 2 o'clock. And I give him the number. He never responds. He responded to the first one. I think I've sent him. I've actually sat on my phone a couple times, and it's emailed him by accident. XXY. It's pretty funny.
You think they're, like, sitting on their couch, like, laughing at the things they get people to think they're going to do?
Probably. Hey, you know, guess what? We're going to fight. You know, exactly. So
guys are in the moment, guys, though. Like, they say yes, and then they're not.
It's got to be right then.
Yeah, 5 minutes later, they'll be done. They'll be like, "I'm not doing that."
It's kind of like banging a stripper. You know, if you go to a strip club.
Everybody's looking at each other like.
You have your small window of opportunity.
Yeah, you have with certain girls, you have a very small window of opportunity. Like after, like, hey, you catch them on the right day, you know, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, like, you know, 10 minutes later, there's cocaine involved or their kids or, you know, child support. It's back to life. It's whatever. Right. So you have to kind of capitalize on that.
Right.
So you go up to Nick Diaz, right?
Yeah.
And what happens?
He's with a crew of dudes. He's sitting at the table. I'm at the bar with like Boz Rutten and Jamie or Joey Varner and some other guys, whatever. And I see Nick Diaz come in and sit down. So I walked over to him and I was like, "Hey man, what's up? I'm Todd Rex from the MMA Roasted podcast. We've been, you know, Adam's been talking to your brother, trying to get your brother to come on forever. And it's pretty funny that, you know," and I kind of explained what you were saying about saying like, "Yeah, we'll see you 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon." He doesn't respond. And he was like, "Yeah, I'll do your show, man."
But he was laughing at that.
And
right?
He was laughing. He was cracking up. And so he was like, "Yeah, man, take down my number. I'll do it." And so I took.
So
down
now
his
you
number.
Have Nick's number.
Yeah.
And he agreed to do the show.
He agreed to do the show.
So we'll just keep calling him every week.
Yeah, I'll just keep bugging the hell out of him until he changes his number. But yeah, man, talk to Michael Cervello. He's a big fan of the show. He wants to do the show.
And then Pat Roy Nelson, Tish, you
Roy
ready?
Roy Nelson. I told him about it. He was like, "Yeah, you tell." He said, "I'll come on that show when Adam gets better jokes." Those were his exact words.
Oh man,
you've made fun of him too much.
Frank Trigg. I ran into Frank Trigg too. Talked to Frank Trigg. He said that he's living. He has a place here in L.A. with Randy.
Oh, really?
Is what he said.
I didn't know that.
And he was like, "Yeah, me and Randy have a place in L.A. And he was like, "I'll be there and not next Tuesday, not the Tuesday after, but the Tuesday after that, I'll be in L.A. and I'll come by and do
the
show."
Get him. We'll get Pat Miletich, like you mentioned before. We'll get all these guys, man. I love getting the old-timers back on the show.
Right. Yeah. They have so many stories, too.
And they don't care. Pat. They're uncensored, either, too. They don't care anymore. Yeah, Pat, exactly. Miletich said he's going to be on the show. Now, a couple fights that were announced yesterday. Dan Henderson versus Daniel Cormier,
I love when fights are they're talked about before they ever happen, and how pissed off Dana or the UFC gets. Like Ariel broke news, this fight's getting talked about or put together, and then Dana tweeted him like, "No, it's not, idiot. It's not what we said." It was like
you're
telling. He's in the office like mother.
Yeah.
Beep.
Yeah. No, and that. So, yeah, by the way, Dana White was supposed to be on the podcast today. I've told everyone he's going to be on the podcast today. However, he had something came up and he can't do it. So we'll have him on next week or the week after. I hope everything's all right.
I think next week.
Dana's a great guy.
Yeah, you told me that, and I was hoping that he was going to actually be like, "I'm just kidding."
April Fool's.
April Fool's.
I was hoping, too.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But, you know, it is what it is. We look forward to having him back on. But the Cormier versus Dan Henderson fight,
wow,
I don't.
Fight.
You think it's a great fight?
No. I was seeing if you're listening, actually.
Yes, I listened to everything you said.
No, you know, I love Dan Henderson. He's one of my favorite fighters of all time. I just don't think this is a good fight. Like, you got a guy like Cormier, arguably the best wrestler in the sport. And you can see how much he's grown each fight. And his speed alone is going to be it's going to be a huge factor.
This is like elderly abuse. I don't understand. I mean, he's got a look. I'm a fan of both. It's just Hendo was getting rocked by Shogun. That fight could have been stopped in the first round. His last fight, he took a beating. Came back. He won in the third round. But I would like to beg anybody wants to argue whether he looked good in the first two rounds. I will argue he did not. He did not look good in the first two rounds. He was getting whooped and. Cormier has never been hurt in any of his fights. He's never really been hurt. He's younger. He's hungrier. He's ranked
a smart
higher.
Guy too. He's intelligent.
His last fight was against Pat Frapp.
Pat Frappuccino.
And he didn't take much abuse there in that fight. And I don't even know if he broke a sweat, which the guy usually breaks a sweat walking to the octagon. So I just don't see this a good fight. It's a good payday. And it keeps Cormier busy, and it keeps him making 205, and we know that's not easy.
I think that was what Ellenberg and I were saying, that it's just keeping him busy until the opportunity comes where he can beat someone's ass for the belt.
But he could lose, though. I mean, Hendo could land. I guarantee that Hendo hits harder than anybody that's ever he's ever fought.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's just a matter of can he land
it'd be hard to argue that.
Old man strength.
I mean, granted, Dan Henderson's really, he's already cemented his legacy. You know, you can't take away what he's accomplished, you know, beating Fedor. I mean, some of the best guys in the sport ever. But this is just, it's a new day. It's a new age. It's a different, it's a bad fight for him.
Yeah. Do you think that last war with Shogun took some years off his...
Yeah, and he only has, and years. I mean, in like fight years, the guy's 422 years old.
He's like Noah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He was, Noah was like a documentary for him. I mean, he was actually...
He's like, I know that guy.
He was too old to go on the boat.
First two animals.
I mean, they were both Olympians, but...
He was too old to go.
the first Olympics.
Yeah, he was in Sparta.
When's the last time you saw Dan Henderson wrestle in a fight, though? It doesn't happen a lot. You know what I mean? He's going to sit down on the right hand.
He's wrestling Alzheimer's right now. I'm a fan. Don't get me wrong. I will watch it. I will watch that guy fight anything. I watch him fight scoliosis. But I just don't see this being a competitive fight. I don't see it being competitive. I mean, but you know, it'll be more competitive than fighting Jared from Subway or whoever he fought last time. So for Cormier,
right?
So it'll be competitive. I just don't see it. You know, he's going from Jake from State Farm to Old McDonald. I just don't see it.
But you're saying it's going to be competitive?
It'll be more competitive than Pat Cummings.
Yeah.
For Cormier.
Right.
I mean, unless he knocks him out.
I guess competitive is all relative.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, but Pat Cummings, I think, is a great fighter. He is a great fighter. People don't think Pat Cummings is a great fighter.
He's an animal.
It was a quick fight.
That was a huge step up on short notice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be a great fighter to get to the UFC. I mean, maybe you could argue that, is James Toney a great fighter or a great boxer? Or, maybe you could argue semantics of, is Kimbo Slice – you don't have to be –
he said that Kimbo Slice could beat up anybody at a barbecue.
He could, at the barbecue, he's the toughest guy.
That's true.
I don't know why barbecue is true. So funny.
I mean, come on.
I wouldn't fight him at a barbecue.
At a barbecue? No way.
Jake's going barbecue. The other way.
At a barbecue? Who's going to beat him at a barbecue?
He only said it because black people barbecue.
I've been to some white people barbecues, too.
At a picnic.
Yeah, those are called cookouts.
Yeah, white
people have cookouts. Black people have barbecues.
Cookout? They grill.
They grill out.
That's a good point.
Tailgate.
Yeah, you guys tailgate.
And then Tyler Perry writes a movie about it.
Exactly. And then plays a chick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. So the World Series of Fighting. Now, you were there. Go on.
Sorry to interrupt you, Adam. That's just what I love about the UFC, like MMA, is like even if you're a James Toney or a Holly Holm, a phenomenal boxer, you still have to start. You're in MMA, you're not you're not a boxer. It's like, you got to appreciate that. And I'm sure with the whole Holly Holm like negotiation with the UFC, it didn't go really well. But they're probably like, you want how much? But it's like, you have to still build yourself and cement yourself in the sport.
In some ways, I feel like it could almost hurt you in some ways because you're so confident in that one skill. And not that one skill, I mean, in that one martial art. Mm-hmm. If James Toney wasn't so confident in his boxing, he might have done better against Randy Couture. But he's just like, man, if I hit this guy, he's going out. I got 4-ounce gloves. Are you kidding me? I train, so... I don't know how much better he would have done, but in some ways it's almost like it hurts you. And that, you know what I'm saying? He obviously, if he was that good of a boxer, he wouldn't have got there. But yeah, to back up your point, you have to be so well-rounded. I mean, and it's such Pat Cummings, a perfect example.
A mixed martial artist.
Great wrestler. But it's not a wrestling match. He wouldn't have beat Cormier in a wrestling match regardless, but it was 6-0 in a wrestling match.
It would at least been competitive.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little bit more one-sided. But by the way, so speaking of certain martial arts, so I'm not really a big jiu-jitsu guy. I've taken a handful of classes. I respect the hell out of it. It's pretty amazing and cool to watch. I did watch the Metamorphosis this weekend, Metamorphosis 3, and it was pretty goddamn cool. It was, I don't know if you guys watched
it. Did you watch it live?
I didn't watch it. My whole Twitter feed was blowing up about it. Everybody was updating about how this is the most, they were calling it the Stephen Bonner versus Forrest Griffin of jiu-jitsu, and everybody was, so it was one of those things where I'm like, I have to watch this, and plus so many people, I guess there's this rivalry between, 10th Planet and Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and I don't know if it's a rivalry, but it seems like there's sort of, I don't know, some people, it would seem like it was like their schools against each other, you know? And because...
Sweep the leg, Johnny!
Because years ago...
Put him in a body bag!
Because they're saying that Hoyler Gracie was, I guess he's known as one of the best jiu-jitsu people of all time, and Eddie Bravo tapped him years ago.
Eddie Bravo was like Cobra Kai.
So this was the big rematch, And it was pretty damn cool, Eddie Bravo did these really creative jiu-jitsu moves. A couple of them, one of them called the electric chair or the vaporizer. I guess he names them. And I guess he would have won by points had it been a point jiu-jitsu match. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying, you know, but it went to a draw.
Was it gi or no gi?
No gi.
It was no gi. Okay. But afterwards, Eddie, I mean, you know, and Hoyler's 47 years old. Eddie's 43, which actually lends itself to say maybe there should be a senior division in the UFC because it was entertaining as hell. So Eddie Bravo is then vomiting afterwards in the back. And then Hoist Gracie goes up to him and was like, they got in some kind of altercation where Hoist threatened Eddie Bravo. And then Eddie was like, Hoist said, hey, man, you talk smack about my family. And afterwards, Eddie said some good things about the Gracies, and he considers himself a Gracie. So now people are calling him Eddie Gracie on the boards, which is pretty funny. So it was this whole thing between Eddie Bravo and Hoist Gracie. And I don't know. It was what are your feelings on that, Jake?
You know, I kind of read a little bit in it, and I saw that Hoist was like, you said all these things about my family over the years, and it's kind of like, come on. Like, this guy's – he's probably one of the best competitive jiu-jitsu fighters, and he's created this whole system, and, I mean, he's great at what he does. But it's the whole rivalry, you know, with the Gracie family. But I thought that was funny that Hoist actually said a few things, and I wish I could have been a bug on the wall there and heard their argument.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, the Gracie family – itself is like there was a big debate because there's a Gracie online. You could take their Gracie online course and you could learn jiu-jitsu online. But Hoy said that's complete bullshit, that you can't learn because I guess you could become like you can get your belt online or something. I don't know. It just seemed like it was becomes a little bit of a marketing thing. And I'm not as well knowledged in the whole as I'd like to be to really discuss this.
I can see it both ways. Like I know the Gracie University online is one of the what Henner and Hedon have created, and there's a lot of debate about whether this should even be they should be able to do that. And in my mind, it's like the way they break it down, like you learn a certain number of techniques for this belt, and then you actually come and test. And so it's as far as like spreading knowledge, it's a good idea. And kids learning self-defense, it's great. But as far as competitive,
Have you taken the online class?
Hey, you want to fight me? Let me get my laptop.
I'm actually a Kimbo Slice black belt online, just so you guys know. No, have you taken it?
You can only fight at barbecues?
Yes.
I'm having a cookout this weekend.
Have you taken the online course?
I haven't, no. Okay. I've just heard a little bit from Henner talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I don't like I mean, especially, like, I'm more of a like a practical, like hands-on kind of learner. I'm not, I can't just read something and then go try to do it or watch a YouTube video and do it. But the grappling, the whole timing, feel, it's all.
Well, I mean, I know with like wrestling, I used to watch videos of the John Smith videos and this guy's videos, and it helped. It didn't really help very much because I would get bored halfway through, or I just you have to be in class. Wrestling, you have to be it and practice to learn.
Yeah, try it.
You got to get the crap beaten out of you to know something feels like. But at the same time, if you could pick up a technique, but it became this big debate on whether or not online people got very. It's funny, online people are arguing about online jiu-jitsu, which is like sort of funny in itself. Yeah, funny in itself. speaking of holds, I know there was a big debate on the World Series of Fighting about Paul Harris and Steve Carl.
Yeah. Yeah, we were there, and I was cage side, and I thought it was just a split second too long. But I mean, anybody else, like we were saying, I don't think that it would have been a problem if it was anybody else, just because of his history. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was holding on for like a second, not even a second, like a half second too long. And I even when I was talking to Steve Carl was like, I mean, it's in the past. It was my fault. I got caught trying to play footsie with the monster, and I lost. And he was like, I don't think it was that. Even he said he didn't think it was long.
Maybe
was
Paul
like,
Harris,
the damage was already done by the time.
Even though it's like a very effective and he wins, he should learn some different moves. Yeah. Because every time he goes with that moves, everyone's waiting for him to hold on too long.
Right.
He should learn how, but yeah.
I heard over at in Abu Dhabi, I heard he popped like three different people's knees.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In like one tournament, three people's knees.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. Yeah, and guys, especially when you're like at the top and you're going for the world title and guys aren't going to tap, it's going to be like, if I can hold on for another couple seconds, and it's like, well, if you don't tap,
it's not his fault. The guy doesn't tap, right?
I know. That's what I heard, but I'm sure because guys are a lot more stubborn to tap. And
He's a monster. Did you see him at the weigh-ins?
Yeah, he's a monster.
He looks ridiculous.
And
we were just like, look at the size. There's no way that this guy weighs 170. It was funny because I was sitting with like the owner and some other people at the weigh-ins. And when he got on the scale, I said, 205 from the back, just joking around. And everybody bust out laughing because everybody's thinking the same thing. He took off his shirt and he was like so wide and so jacked. And I was like, dude, this guy's got to weigh 200 pounds.
Now, were you drunk at the weigh-ins?
No.
Because people have been emailing me, hey, man, T-Rex said I can come to your podcast and sit in.
That was my boy Danny from the World Series of Fighting. I was hammered at the after party. And he was like, yeah, I live in L.A. And I was like, I didn't know you live in L.A. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, we do our podcast. I said, where do you live? And he said, Culver City. And I was like, yeah, we do our podcast out of whatever. Just come by. And he was like, okay.
I'm like, we don't have like an audience here. Like, so then I go, T-Rex, are you telling people they can come sit in our podcast? He goes, I was drunk, man. So
got some chairs out there. Just watch.
Yeah.
Just
out
there. Yeah. Be a little peanut gallery.
So you went and like sold tickets to our podcast when you're drunk?
So I got some money for you guys, everybody here.
Nice. Yep. So we have one of my favorite fighters, one of my favorite people, all around badass, reformed bad person, but all around badass fighter, great guy, Cub Swanson. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. That's quite an introduction. I appreciate that.
No worries, man. I am a huge fan, and you know that.
Checks in the mail.
I don't think anybody who's a fight fan isn't a fan of yours, by the way. I mean, you know, there's you put on some entertaining fights, man. You give it all out every single time you're out in the octagon. It's a freaking amazing fight. So, how are you?
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. I'm doing great. Just getting some maintenance work done right now. Just trying to stay young.
Now, yeah. So, speaking of staying young, I gotta say, so Conor McGregor said that you were an old, wrinkly mother. That's what he writes. Would you like to respond to that?
Yeah. You know, just for all the people that are saying, why don't I fight him? I practically begged the UFC to let me be the one to, you know, put him in his place. But they said to just, now is not the time, let his skills catch up with his mouth. So, you know, he's going to fight Cole Miller, which I think Cole will beat him, and I pretty much said that let me be the one to beat him because that'll still do good things for his career losing to me.
How do you think that fight would, like, what do you think would happen if say you fought Conor McGregor? How do you see that fight going down?
It would be an easy payday for me, honestly. I think he's got talent, but he's not there and not whooped his ass, and it'd be an easy payday.
You think you would knock him out in the first round?
I might let it go a little longer just to, you know.
Just to make him suffer?
Just to let him know what's up and give the fans a show. And to let him, you know, I don't want him to break his heart and KO him real quick. So.
I mean, I think, you're the number four guy. It seems that you're on a 1-2, you're on a 5-5 win streak. You haven't lost since 2001. It's been almost 4 years since you lost. I mean, I even said that your nickname should be Ringworm because I think guys are avoiding you like Ringworm.
Ringworm.
I mean,
I was thinking of melatonin hands because you know, if once I hit you, you don't fall right away, but it takes a little bit. I gotta, you know. Yeah. But eventually you're going to go down, you know what I mean?
No, exactly. Now, you are fighting Jeremy Stephens. Now, what's Jeremy Stephens ranked right now?
I think in some rankings, he's like down to like 7, but I think in UFC rankings, I think he's 10.
Now, is it hard for you to like get up for a guy? Like, I mean, not that Jeremy Stephens isn't a great fighter. He's an awesome fighter, and you can't overlook anybody. But do you kind of wish that you were fighting someone ranked higher than you?
Well, I did ask for somebody. I asked for Aldo. I asked for Mendez. I asked for Lamas, Poirier. I asked for everybody, and they said that this is a fight that they wanted to put together. It's a good fight for the fans, and that they believe Jeremy Stephens is doing good things at 145, and we matched up well. So I said, all right, you know, and I definitely am not going to have a hard time being excited to train for this fight. I mean, because, you know, he likes to bang and he like balls to the wall the whole time, just like myself. And they gave us 5-5 rounds. So in a main event in San Antonio, I'm definitely excited for this fight.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fans fight. Do you ever get nervous, though, that sometimes, like, that your style is almost too fan-friendly? where you're worried that, like, okay, a guy like Jeremy Stephens could catch you if you sit there and just trade punches with him?
No, because I'm an entertainer and a fighter at the same time, you know. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to give the fans a good fight, and I'm going to fight a smart fight at the same time. So I'm not too worried about going out there and making mistakes. If I make mistakes in the fight, I'll go back to the drawing board and try to do better the next time.
Very humble guy, man. I almost think that's like one of your biggest faults, is that if you have a fault, it's that you're too nice and too humble. It seems like a lot of these guys get rewarded for, like, guys like McGregor, who, you know, they're very loud and boisterous and sort of outspoken, and it seems like that it becomes almost too entertaining and too much like WWE, where there are certain guys out there, like, you know, like even like with Jake Ellenberger or you, or certain guys that are kind of more, you know, just different, and it takes all kinds. If everybody was like Conor McGregor, the UFC would be ridiculous, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good for the sport. I think you know, people are gonna, you know, pick their favorite fighters on the way they fight, but also on personality types. And if you like the loudmouth, then that's cool. You know, for myself, I just know that I've been in situations where I've been humbled, and you know, I've had to take losses, and I've come back from that, and I think that's made me a stronger person. I see somebody like that, and who hasn't really been tested at the top level yet, and when they do get embarrassed on national TV, see how they come back from that. You know, see if it, you know, that's how you judge a real man.
Yeah, no, I hear. No, that's the thing. I mean, I've been humiliated on national TV plenty of times. And I, you know, people always say, you know, okay, hey, you know, when do you get better as a comic? And as a comedian, I know it's not the shows that you go out there and destroy. It's the shows where you eat your dick and you're up there and no one's laughing and you're just like embarrassed, or I've gotten booed off the stage before. And those are the ones that, you know, you come back and you're like, okay,
find out what you're made out of.
That's what you find out. It's never the way. I mean, the victories are great. Don't get me wrong. You don't want to get booed every night. But you find out what you're made of when you come back. It just actually just falling, you know, getting knocked out or bombing, it just sucks to have to live through that.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think earlier in my career, I used to get a little bit depressed and really take it out on myself just because I'm my own worst critic. But, you know, I remember something Brian Stan told me, just that our losses don't define us. And I really tried to, you know, take that to heart and really say, you know, a loss is a loss. It doesn't mean I suck as a person. You know what I mean? Don't believe the things that I read. Just because, you know, with social media, you know, people have a direct line to tell you how much they hate you every day. So if you could choose to ignore that and learn how, your life will be a little better.
No, you're totally right. I even, like, because I always retweet you because I'm a fan. Even when, like, you put that picture of the old guy laughing, you're like, this is what Conor McGregor, this is what's going to happen when I'm going to look the face when Conor McGregor is knocked out at some old guy laughing. But you know, the thing is, I see a lot of people that, like, retweet you, like, oh, yeah, well, you got knocked out and blah, 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 but, you know, Jose Aldo. And I'm like, Jesus, like, the abuse the fighters take sometimes, you know, really, I was like, damn, dude, you guys take a lot of abuse and it sucks, but I how do you deal with that?
Just maturity. You know, I guess I am the old man. I am mature, you know, and, you know, I'll accept that role. I'm a veteran. I've been around, and I think that's what makes me a great fighter now. You know, you learn to deal with it, like I said, and, Being called old really doesn't bother me. I think it's funny because I know who I am and what I am, and I'm okay with that. And I see people like that. Yeah, they're searching for themselves and they haven't found it yet.
Well, I mean, you're only what, 32, 33? You're not really old.
I just turned 30.
Oh, you just turned 30. So you're not. I mean, that's not old at all. I mean, you're a veteran, but you're not old.
Yeah. Yeah, a veteran is a better word. I've been pro for 10 years, so yeah. that's I guess in fight years I'm getting older, but I feel great. You know, it's all about my mental state, and that's all that matters.
How's your team doing? How's Diego Sanchez doing?
He's great, man. He's he's been helping out quite a bit, and I just think he's awesome.
Yeah, I love
in
Diego.
The gym with him. He's you know, screaming all the time, and it's just, he's a character, you know, and that's the thing I love about my job is I don't sit at a desk and bored to death. I'm mixed in a room full of nutcases, you know. I got crazy Russians and crazy Albuquerqueans and people from all over, Brazilians, Mexicans, you know, so I get to hang out with all these nutty people. How exciting is that to go to my job every day?
And Julie Kedzie, who I think has the nicest butt in MMA, by the way. I am a fan. You got to hook me up with Julie.
All right. All right, I'll talk to you.
Seriously.
You got to like cats and dogs, though. I'll tell you that.
I love cats and dogs, and I think we make a cute couple. I mean, she could probably mess me up a little bit, but I think we would have fun. She used to be a waitress at a comedy club, and she banged a couple comedians, but she wouldn't tell me which ones. So if you can, if you can get that info for me, that'll be great. If you could.
Okay. Well, you'd have to be okay with her wearing the pants, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, of course. By the way, Jake Ellenberger just showed up.
Walked in.
In the house.
I'm just glad that it's not the black guy that was lame.
Yes.
I've been here for 20 minutes. You guys are lying.
Now.
He just didn't want to talk to Cub.
We have Cub Swanson on the phone.
Cub, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, bud?
Not too much, man. How's training?
It's going good. I've been training for 8 months, so I kind of pulled back a little bit. About to start again and hit it hard for 12 weeks, you know? So right now it's like calm before the storm.
Nice, nice.
Now, Cub, you're married?
No, not married. Single.
Oh, you're single. Wait, didn't you have a girlfriend for a long time? Last time we talked, you had a girlfriend, correct?
Yeah, I do. But as far as marital status, I'm single.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Single and, having a girlfriend is two different things.
Yeah. So how long?
I've always been with I've only had three girlfriends, like, in the last 10 years. Like,
at the same time?
I'm either... No. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm pretty loyal, pretty chill. I'm not into like the running around being crazy.
You know, I know back in the day, you know, you talked about, you know, running with a bad crew, and you were in a gang, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we were classified as a gang, but you know, there's a bunch of guys. There's a lot of gang activity out here. I wouldn't consider myself in a real gang because we used to get into a lot of fights and be around, you know, the wrong parties, things like that. No. But, you know, of course, the police used to classify as a gang, and I'd get arrested. I'd be classified as a gang member.
But did you have to get, like, sworn in or jumped in?
No, because my brother pretty much started it. So I just kind of was like, you know, I was in by association.
Did you say sworn in?
Sworn in.
Do you hereby swear to cause all kinds of mayhem, rape, and pillage?
I don't know, but what do. Jumped. I'm like white. I'm like Jewish, white, and went to Long Island. Okay.
You jumped in.
The only gang I had was like a Hebrew school. You know, so
the Hebrews.
Yeah, the Hebrews.
Did you have to pledge?
Okay, all right.
It's
so
Rush Week for our guys.
So now was it now were you like
you
an
a
M
dance coming up?
Was it an M13 or I mean what was the name of your gang?
It was called Wicked Youth.
Wicked.
And it was just a crew, but like where I'm from, there's tons of crews at the time, and there were real gangs out here. You know, there's a lot of Crips and there's a lot of Mexican gangs. That were a lot more serious than we were, so I never understood why I used to get so much heat from the police. I think it was because me and my brother kind of had a big mouth.
Is that because
I would get arrested for things that I didn't do anything, just for being there, and so I would run my mouth because I knew I didn't do anything. I told the police a few times if I did something, I'd be quiet. You know, I'd be sweating. I wouldn't say anything, but I didn't do anything. So I'm going to let you know I didn't do anything and leave me alone.
Is that where you got the nickname Cub?
Yeah. No, I got the nickname Cub when I was a baby. I'm about 6 months old. My brother couldn't say my real name, and he called me Cub. and I was a little brown, chubby baby, so it stuck.
What is your ethnicity?
Half Mexican, half Swedish.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty cool thing. Now back to the gang thing, because I'm a huge watch Gangland. That's one of my favorite shows ever. It was Gangland. Now, did you have? I mean, are there any crazy gang fights you can tell us about, or anything that I know you don't want to glorify it, or you're not really proud of it, but they're pretty crazy stories. Anything you want to share with us?
I don't really like to talk about the story too much, but. You know, there's a couple times where, you know, I saw people get shot and things like that, which aren't too cool. You know, and there were some pretty crazy fights, you know, like 10 on 10, that I was just happy to get out with no injuries.
Wow.
But other than that, you know, that was just kind of a regular thing. You know, you were at a party, people got drunk, fight broke out. Shots fired, you get the hell out of there.
You know, hey Cub, this is DJ. I have a question. In that life, how hard is it now that you're in the public eye, you're out there, you're on TV, you know, there are people focused on you, you know, obviously people think, oh, you're on TV, you must have money and yada yada yada. How hard is it to keep those people at bay, you know, given the fact that you're still growing up in the place that you lived, you know, like you're still living there. So how hard is that, you know, with people like, you know, that get into trouble, like in Aaron Hernandez, and I'm not trying to say, you know, you have that same situation, but how hard is that?
For one, like as soon as I started doing good, most of my friends were like, you shouldn't be here. You know, my good friends, you know, they'd be like, oh, you shouldn't hang out with us. And, you know, they didn't want me to get into trouble anymore once I really started doing something. And I'm still cool with all my friends growing up, but most of them have kids and I don't. And so I stay at home, I train, I'm a nerd now. So it's not very hard for me at all, just because when I started training, I stopped doing drugs, I stopped drinking. I drink on occasion now, but I haven't done drugs for 11 years. Since I started training, so it was pretty much just, you know, a whole 180 for me, and it wasn't very hard once I made up my mind.
No, I think it's great, man, and I read about you going to schools and talking to inner city kids and getting them out of that whole lifestyle, and it's very inspiring, man. Honestly, it's really cool, because a lot of times I would say 99.9% of the people that grew up were in your situation ended up either in jail or whatever. Or, you know, in Riverside,
yeah.
but you know, the fact that you got out of it and that you're now getting paid to beat people up is pretty amazing, dude. It's
well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. And like I said, when I go to like the juvenile hall, and they love me when I come in there. I just tell the kids, you know, like I was a stubborn kid, and people always talk down to me about how stubborn I was and how that was a fault. But I tell people that's a huge, you know, like a great quality. Like, look at somebody like Kobe Bryant. You can tell me he's not stubborn.
Oh yeah.
I think that if you just, you know, focus it in the right direction, then your stubbornness becomes like the best quality you can have.
Yeah.
It makes you want to fight for something in life, and I think that's what most people don't do, is they don't try to fight for things in life, and they just accept whatever comes their way, and they don't really shoot for anything.
Yeah, and then plus Kobe never takes no for an answer in anything he does.
Exactly.
Now, Cub, I got to ask you, so a couple things. I know that you train with Tim Bradley, correct?
Yeah.
Now, do you like spar with him boxing-wise?
Yeah, I've sparred with him a few times. We're always in the gym together. And he's actually a big fan of mine, just, you know, we've watched each other just do great things, and it's pretty cool. Since we went to high school together, same grade and everything, small high school too. But when we spar, I'm not good enough for him. I can spar any of the guys in there, and we got like, right now we have so many guys, they're like, okay, Cub, spar this guy, and okay, he's 24-0 with 22 knockouts, okay, you know. There's just so many guys like that in my gym. But Tim is just so fast that I just stand there and look stupid, because I it's like like, he hits me, and I'm like, what? Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, well, I mean, sparring with boxers, this is a different level. I mean, that's why, I mean, it's a, I mean, first of all, Tim Bradley could probably headbutt you from here. Yeah, he has the biggest head I've ever seen. I actually won money. I'm telling him I said thank you because I actually won $1,500 on him against Pacquiao the first time. Even though I did think he lost, he still got the win.
Well, I made some money on that fight too. So sweet. He's going to win again. I guarantee it. I've seen him training. Could say he lost, but then he went on to beat Ruslam, and then he beat Marquez. Marquez beat Pacquiao. So I think he'll beat Pacquiao, then he'll hopefully go on to fight Mayweather.
You know what? It's funny. I was thinking about that. If Tim Bradley beats Pacquiao and then beats Mayweather, in like 100 years from now, in the history books, they're going to see Tim Bradley went undefeated and beat Manny Pacquiao, Mayweather, and Marquez. He might be considered one of the greatest of all time, as far as history books. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't put him up there with Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, or Muhammad Ali, but he's an amazing fighter. He's definitely an elite fighter. But imagine
the Pravodnikov fight.
Oh,
like, that was absolutely the best fight I've ever seen in the last like 10 years.
I love his dad.
You know what bums me out about that fight? It was so great, but here he is, a world champion, and a world champion felt he had to prove himself because of how much hate mail he got and how much criticism he got, and it bums me out because I think, like, he even said, like, man, I probably lost some years off my life with that fight.
He got pulled into that.
It took him a long time to recover mentally, his equilibrium and things like that. You know what I mean? And it's just the fans can get to you, and that really bummed me out.
No, plus he went into a lot of heart. And he went into a family that the woman had like four kids, and he's like raising them himself or something. The guy's like just one of a great dude. His dad is a classic too. I watch those 24/7s. His dad is awesome. His dad's awesome.
The funny part is his dad is a security guard at our high school, and when we would ditch, he would ride a bike, you know, like a mountain bike, and he'd come around the corner as we're like ditching, and he'd be like, "Where are you going?" You know, we'd be like, "Oh shit."
That's funny. That's hilarious. Now, Cub, I got to ask you a couple of things about the Greg Jack. Now, are you training over at Greg Jackson's camp at all still or no?
Oh yeah, of course. I was just out there a few weeks ago. I thought I was going to get a fight sooner, and then they told me June, the end of June, so I came back home to relax a little bit before I started camp.
Now, who do you like in the Tim Kennedy versus Bisping fight?
You know, Bisping does really well against guys trying to take him down. You know, he's tough as hell, but I think Tim's really made some strides with his stand-up, which he needed to do, and I think after that big knockout he had, it's given him some confidence. So I think if he mixes it up well, I think he can take that fight.
I like Tim. Tim's a Tim. I hope Tim wins. Tim. You know, Tim's a classic. He's a funny dude. Now, Holly Holm, I know she's another teammate of yours. You know, people were saying that Holly Holm has the best chance of beating Ronda Rousey, but Dana White didn't want her, or the UFC didn't sign her. Can you give us some kind of info on that?
I really have no clue what happened. I know that she was excited about going and talking to them. My best guess is it was a money thing, because she's the most popular person in Albuquerque. Like, in New Mexico, she's, like, the most famous person in New Mexico.
Even more famous than Walter White?
Yeah, still. He doesn't live there, so.
Yeah.
But when we go around, she's the one that's famous and gets hit up by everybody. It's crazy. We'll be with the whole team, and people will walk up to her, "Holly Holm, Holly Holm." So she's got a huge boxing following. She's made a lot of money boxing. And I think just, you know, boxers come in with knowing what their self-worth is. And, you know, you come in the UFC, they're like, "Oh, you got to, you know, start at the bottom or, you know, start here." I don't think, you know, that maybe they weren't on the same page with that.
Yeah. From what I heard, it was a, like, kind of a management, they weren't seeing eye to eye. So
it's a shame because
Well, I'm sure the management asked for, you know, this is what we want, and they were like, "You're crazy." You know what I mean? Because they have the same. UFC is like, you got to put in your dues no matter who you are.
Exactly.
How do you see Holly versus Ronda?
If it stays standing, then Holly will tear apart. I mean, we all spar with her. She's a beast, man. She's for sure the best girl I've ever sparred standing. And I sparred the majority of the really popular girls. I mean, Ronda is just no joke with the takedowns and on the ground. I think Ronda's full of crap when she's saying that she's got the best hands in women's MMA. So if she really believed in her own hype, she'd get knocked out for sure.
She's got the best hand jobs. No, I'm kidding. I would hope she does. Now there was a big debate on whether or not Ronda Rousey would beat Floyd Mayweather in an MMA fight.
Why is this even?
It was on the underground. There was like 500 people were chiming in. I think Ronda beats Mayweather in an MMA fight. In an MMA fight, I think Ronda. Now people were saying that. I want to hear your thoughts on this, Cub and Jake and T-Rex. Cub, you go first.
I say no.
You think Mayweather knocks her out quickly?
I think so. Yeah, she's too slow. You know.
But
he'll hit him with 100 unanswered shots.
I think I have a good chance against him in MMA. I think I'd whoop him for sure. I always said I think if I fought Mayweather in a street fight, a kickboxing match, or MMA fight, I'd get him. He's the only one he'd get me in is a boxing match. But I'd probably last longer in boxing than he would in any of the others.
Yeah, like when you said Cub, when you were sparring with Tim Bradley. And you're saying like how fast he is, and it's like, man, you're a fast guy, you're a fast fighter, and to say that about him, that really says something, you know?
Yeah, but Jake, you said Ronda Rousey took you down a couple times.
Yeah.
So if Ronda Rousey takes Jake Ellenberger down, who's walking around at 180, and Mayweather's walking around at 145.
I've gotten thrown by her. Yes,
you've been thrown by her.
I have.
So how is Ronda Rousey not gonna like just you know?
Well, here's the thing: with a guy like Mayweather, he's so fast, you're gonna have to touch him, clinch him, and that's gonna be the equation. I don't see it happening.
Well, I don't think she's. I mean, she's not gonna stand and trade with him.
Well, no, but how
are you gonna get him?
Yeah,
you can't get him. I mean,
okay, Cub. Jake also said that Brock Lesnar would lose to GSP in a fight.
He would. 100%.
Back it up.
What are your thoughts on that? All right, Cub, since you're the only other real fighter here, other than Jake, who wins in a fight? Cubs, Brock Lesnar or GSP?
Speed kills.
I don't know. That's a tough one to call.
Oh, come up. What tough one to call? The guy that walks around at 300 pounds.
Well, GSP has a bad ACL now. So
he's going to run out of gas for sure. He would have to get in there and finish the job real quick.
So you're saying that GSP beats Brock Lesnar?
No, I'd put my money on Lesnar for sure.
All right, that's three against Jake. That's four now against Jake.
That's fine. Hey, that's fine.
All right.
We've disagreed on a lot of subjects.
Yes,
then,
yes, we have.
No big deal.
All right, so Cub, before we let you go, man. By the way, just so you guys know, Dana White was supposed to be on. Dana had to cancel today. He had an emergency. Cub Swanson came on last minute. Thank you. You're a champ. Don't have to come on our podcast. You're a champ anyway. Is there anything that you want to say to Conor McGregor so that we could get this?
I love that.
Get
fight.
In my belly.
So we can get this podcast exploding all over the internet. You have. Let's hear.
Pull some from what I already said. I'm done talking about that clown. but I'm excited about my fight.
Yes.
June 28th, San Antonio main event. I'm excited for the opportunity. The UFC's giving me that opportunity to really go out there and showcase my skills. And just make sure you guys tune in for that. Fox Sports 1. If Connor's still around, he can get up the ladder and reach my level, then I'd love to knock him out.
Well, that. But I think if you beat, I know you're not going to overlook Jeremy Stephens, but I think if you do beat Jeremy Stephens, which I think you will, I think they got to give you a title shot. I mean, it's getting ridiculous now.
I agree.
It's like Susan Lucci.
I think it'll happen.
Well, I will campaign for that. I will do everything it takes to get you a title shot.
I can see this
shot.
Fight going similar to the Dennis Seether fight when Cub.
Yeah, well, Dennis Seether is now suspended now for taking steroids.
I heard that.
And did you know he was on steroids when you fought him?
He was very strong.
I would have never guessed.
Yeah,
my game plan was to, holy shit, this dude is strong. Let me, I know he's going to gas out, so let me just kind of, you know, draw him into my fight. And as the fight goes on, I'm going to get faster. He's going to get slower. That was my thought. So,
was he injecting stuff in between rounds?
I didn't see anything. But we did think it was funny that when we were originally supposed to fight in London, they announced that all fights were going to get tested. All international fights, every fighter was going to get tested from now on, and then he pulled out the next day.
Oh, man. He pulled up. He was like the original Vitor Belfort. He was like the Belfort before the Belfort. Well, Cub, man, hey, I got a show Saturday night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. You want to? I know you're an hour away, open in Palm Springs, but if you can come, I will get you front row seats. I won't make fun of, I mean, there'll only be four people there, but you'll get the, I'll hook you up with front row seats to you and your beautiful girlfriend. I'm sure she's hot, because Cub Swanson does not bang ugly chicks.
It's actually okay. High in the club.
And if you want
to
come.
I'm going to try to make it, bud, for sure. I got guys fighting on Gladiator Challenge, and I'm just hoping they're not going to keep me there until 2 in the morning like they used to do back in the day, so. If I can swing it, I definitely want to come through.
You're not coming.
All right. He's just like Ellenberger. He's not coming. But anyway. Well, thank you, Cub. I appreciate it, man. Take care, brother.
All right, thanks,
Cub. Later, Cub.
Later.
All right, that was Cub Swanson.
The funny thing is, he looks more the part that Conor McGregor's playing.
You know,
if you look at him, like Conor McGregor's this. Clean cut dude.
Clean cut. He's got like a beard and.
But I'm saying, is it wrangling now? Because I saw him at one fight. He was like, it was a beard, but it was nicely trimmed, and he just looked like a gentleman.
Yeah, he's dressed in a suit.
Yeah, he's got a suit,
cane, the whole bit.
Yeah, Cub does look like
Cub looks like he is like a scary dude who will like talk smack to you and then back it up.
And he's the most humble,
exactly
down to earth guy. Yeah. And I think that actually, in a way, hurts him. You know, in a way, because I think that people. I don't know. Sometimes I think that the whoever's making the fights doesn't give sometimes the fans enough credit. Where like I would want to see Cub Swanson in a title shot, even though he's not the loudest guy or this or that. You know, I would want to see some of these guys get, even though they're not the biggest, the loudest guys. A guy like that, you know, he's going to be an entertaining fight. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to just phone it in. Yeah,
you know? I don't know if he's had a not entertaining fight.
You yeah,
know, he's
exactly.
Always fun to watch.
Always fun to watch.
Well, he's one way away.
One win away. So yeah. Robert Whiteford was supposed to be on our show today. I tried calling him, and I go, dude, we're not be able to call you because the phone's not working. I think he's in Egypt, and the number he gave, I go, what's the country code? He writes back, not sure. Google that shit, son. that is how he...
Are you texting with Robert Whiteford or Ashy Larry?
Oh, man.
Ashy Larry.
It was funny because after he won his last fight, I go, congrats on the win. He goes, thanks, bro. Now get me on that f-ing show, LOL. So this guy, I definitely want to have this guy on my show. I don't know how, I don't know about Googling that shit. I don't even, I don't know.
Why is he in Egypt? Is that where he lives?
No, he lives in Scotland. He's the first fighter to ever win in the UFC from Scotland. Hmm. And he's a 31-year-old guy, 11-2. He seems like a really fun guy. I want to talk to him, but I don't know if we are able to reach
him. We'll try.
We'll try to reach him. All right, so our next guest is the first Scottish person to ever win in the UFC. Ever. He's like the Jackie Robinson of Scotland, this guy.
Yes.
Robert Whiteford, how are you, man?
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson is the first black baseball player in the history of baseball. So you're like...
Nice.
Yes. You're in very good company. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm in Australia. No, where am I? Egypt.
Australia, Egypt, one of the places.
Wait, how do you get Egypt and Australia confused?
Desert.
I've just had, like, a shandy there, so that's why I'm getting confused.
Oh, okay. Now, what are you doing in Egypt right now?
Just chilling, having a good time, relaxing, vacation, getting fat.
Okay. Nice. Now you won your last fight. It was a great fight. I was a big fan of it, and I emailed you about it, and then you said, get me on that fucking show. So here you are on the show. Now, when you go back to Scotland, are you just a hero back at home?
I've been a hero in Scotland before I fought in the UFC, so it'll be no different.
Really? I mean, are you like the... Are you like a big star in Scotland?
I'm on those.
Like, do you walk around wearing a kilt and girls just grab your cock under it? Is that...
That happens, yep.
Really? That happens?
It's happened.
It has happened.
That's the norm in Scotland.
Oh, nice. Now... So wait. Now you were training over at American Top Team in Florida. What was that like?
Crazy, crazy. Hector Lombard's a fucking crazy bastard. We've had him in the podcast a few times. He's nuts.
Does he try to knock you out in sparring?
I don't spar him. Fuck that.
Is he too much of a beast in the gym?
You say that.
Now, who were some of the guys that you were going against? Was it like Cole Miller? Was that one of your training partners?
Well, Cole Miller broke his hand just now, so he wasn't in the gym, but the guys like Nick Lentz, Dustin Pryor, Daniel Strauss, Mossad Bektik, it's just in the UFC.
Mossad is a stud.
There's a bunch of featherweights, 145s in there that are fucking roll killers.
Now, I mean, was it like a culture shock when you're in? I mean, you're growing up in Scotland, you know, you're kind of a big fish in a small pond. You get over to American Top Team with these monsters, these killers. Was it a big culture shock? Was it hard adjusting for you?
Well, that's not the first time I've been to Top Team. That's my fourth time being out there. But it's definitely a humble experience. You know, you think you're the big dog, and then you get there and you just get your cunt kicked in every day. So. It's a humbling experience.
I mean, it must have been awesome. Now, did you get any Florida tail when you were there?
No, none of that. I've got a girlfriend, so none of that's happening.
Yeah. Is your girlfriend in Scotland?
And she's with me just now in Egypt.
She's in Egypt? Nice. Where did you meet her?
She's from Scotland.
Oh, she's from Scotland. Now, our Scottish chicks are hot, but their accents are brutal.
Yeah, big time.
Now, you started doing judo at 16 years old. You made the Scottish national team. You were a badass in judo. You're 31 years old, so you're not a youngster. You've been around for a while. You're 11-2. I mean, was it just like a dream come true? Did you always know, like, I want to be a fighter? I mean, you were a plumber before that, so I mean, you had some odd jobs.
You've been doing your homework.
Yeah.
I like it, nice.
Oh, thanks.
I only got into MMA like 5 years ago. I'd only watched the UFC when I was a kid and didn't really think I was fucking that badass, you know, because the guys in the UFC are fucking killers. So it was a wee bit surreal for me to eventually start fighting and make my way to the UFC. It was a wee bit crazy.
Yeah.
I suppose the older you get, the better you get, right?
Now, someone said that you do a fake American accent after you win your fights. Is that true?
Oh, I've done that just to fuck with people. Brilliant.
So let's hear
your... Can we get a sample of it?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I've been out of America that long. I'll know really luck, but the people in Scotland have been giving me dogs abuse for that.
All right, but let's hear it. Okay, so, so, Robert Whiteman, you just won your fight. Your next fight, who do you want to fight next?
I'm not too sure, guys. Does that sound American?
That was good.
It wasn't
that's
bad.
That's American, right?
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad. Honestly, that was the most I understood of this whole interview. So, so if you could do a fake American accent,
if you want.
Yeah, well, you can do a fake American the rest of the interview. That'll be great. Because I'm like picking up every fourth word that you say and trying to interview you. It's hard, man. Those Scottish accents are thick, right? Is that what? Is it the phone connection?
The guys, my friends and obviously the fans from back home don't understand that. They think that the Americans just understand the Scottish, no problem, but it's fucking beyond a joke.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean,
bloody hell.
Although I did love Trainspotting. That was one of my favorite movies, just by the way.
Good movie, that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good movie.
Good movie, that.
Do you have any questions for Jake Ellenberger?
Who's Jake Ellenberger?
Wow, that's even more brutal than why is he there?
I knew it was coming.
Wow.
That's
shots fired, man.
Yeah. That's his dating life in a nutshell.
Yeah. No. Jake has a tough time. Jake has a tough time getting laid. He hasn't been laid in about a year. We don't know whether he's going to get laid or if Dominic Cruz is going to come back first. It's actually a running. People are betting on Dominic Cruz coming back. Or do you have any advice to Jake on how to get laid?
Maybe get to Scotland and start doing a cult.
Where a kilt go commando underneath.
Okay.
that's the thing. It's
would that work in LA?
It's against tradition to wear underwear and with a kilt, so you need to go commando or it's bad luck.
Wait, do people really wear kilts in Scotland, or is that this is Roddy Piper?
Nah, people really wear them.
Really?
It's like formal wear, I think, right? It's
useless.
And you guys free ball it under
like
there?
Could you just.
You need to. The only time you'll catch me wearing underwear and a kilt is when I wear it to the octagon. Apart from that, there's no underwear ever.
So do you go commando in the kilt when you're over there?
He said it's bad luck if you don't.
But you've got to.
So do you ever, like, you know, when a bus is driving by, you just give him a fruit basket or something?
Fruit basket.
you ever teabag Team Alpha Male? So is there anybody, who do you want to fight next?
I don't give a f**k. Anybody who gets on me.
Do you think that you could beat anybody at 135?
135? Easy.
Yeah. What about 125?
125.
Yeah.
145?
What about 145?
125.
145 is a different kettle of fish. They're all killers, aren't they?
What was that?
They're all killers at 145.
Yeah, they're all killers.
There's a few.
So, all right. So you think, but in your weight class, you think you could take anybody?
No, you put anybody in front of me, and I'll fight them.
All right, I like it. I like your spirit, man. So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Let me see. How do you find your interviews with Hector Lombard?
Oh, I love Hector Lombard. I think he's one of the funniest human beings ever. Although you might be up there, but
if we can understand you,
Hector Lombard is awesome. I mean, he's funny because he takes his time to talk, and he's just very honest. And you never know when he's done talking, but he's awesome.
Even when you start to talk, and then he starts to keep talking again. Like you interrupt him a little bit. Like he's got it wasn't done.
Yeah, and he's got an amazing Cuban Australian accent. He's funny as hell. He's got funny. Great stories. So I am a big Hector Lombard fan.
Well, listen to this. So after my fight in UFC 171. I was walking around the hotel with my kilt on, okay?
Do you know
the little pouch that you wear at the front? It's called a spawn.
Yeah.
Right, so he approaches me, he goes, hey man, can I have your spawn? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you give me that. But serious, he's like, yeah, I frame it, give me it. I'm like, fuck, like, can't just give you a Hector, you know, I need to, it's like, it's all one suit, it's all one piece kilt. And he's like, you come to the gym Monday, I want that drink with you. I was like, felt like he was going to kill me instantly.
That would be, dude, if Hector Lombard walked around with a kilt for his next fight, that would be epic. That would be amazing.
So I turned up at the gym on Monday with it, and he wasn't there.
Ah.
You were probably happy about that though, weren't you?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, thank fuck.
If Hector Lombard wanted to fight me, I'd be wearing a kilt. But anyway, listen, Robert Wyford, man, good luck with your journey. I look forward to your next fight. Thanks for being on the show. Have fun in Egypt. And take care, brother.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Later, buddy. Get in my belly.
All right. That was
what was he doing in Egypt?
I don't know. I don't even know what just happened. But
he's on vacation. But
Sonny's on vacation.
Choking
yeah.
out camels.
Egypt's kind of a hot place to be right now, like politically.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I
that's not a, that's oh, not yeah. the vacation spot that you'd ever want to go to.
Yeah, I'll take Lake Tahoe. But he seemed like a nice guy. I did have a little trouble understanding him. I'm not sure it was the connection or the accent.
No, he's got a thick accent.
A thick accent. Yeah, yeah. You think people from Scotland listen to that and know exactly what he's saying, though?
Absolutely.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And they probably wonder what we're talking about. Right. Right. So
you have a funny accent. We all have funny accents.
Yeah, we all have funny accents. Yeah. I like it. He's funny, though. The guy is entertaining, Robert Whiteford.
Yeah, he is. <He's> just, have you spoke to anyone from Liverpool?
No.
They have a thick accent.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same kind
it's
of thing.
Really, yeah. It's harder than him. It's like you can barely pick up words, you know. But it's tough.
Oh, I was good luck, Robert Whiteford. I'm a fan, and I'd love to have you back on. I guarantee people are going to listen to that and laugh. They're gonna be like,
what?
Our next guest is. He is one of my. I lie and say these guys are my favorite fighters. He really is the best of these guys. I was just kidding. He really is one of my favorite fighters. He's a super nice guy. He's got a hot wife and a great mullet.
The Mike, Tennessee waterfall.
Mike Pyle, how are you, man?
Man, I'm fantastic. So I'm replacing Dana today, huh?
Yes, yes. Dana just.
Well, I can be Dana. I can just be Dana real quick. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. It's fight week.
Yes, that's a wow.
Dana?
I thought it was Dana. That's crazy.
That's dead on.
So, Mike, you just came off a huge win against TJ Wahlberger, which was an awesome fight. I thought you looked better than ever in that fight. You looked great. There was a time though; it did seem like that was a late stoppage when you were on top of him, elbowing him and punching him. Did you think that was there a time where you like, why isn't the ref stopping this fight?
No, there was a time where I was thinking, why in the hell is he not going out?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, what do I got to do? But no, it didn't cross my mind, is he going to stop it? Because you just never know if you're, you know, when it's coming down to it and you're trying to finish the fight by the ref stopping it for you, then you might lose concentration on what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, just keep going until someone stops it.
You've come a lot.
My job's to try to get it done, and ref job is pull me off when he feels fit. So.
Get her done.
You've come a long way. Your first fight ever was against Rampage,
like 2001 or something.
In 1999.
Right?
99. Damn.
Now how much did Rampage weigh, and how much did you weigh for that fight?
I weighed about 175 pounds soaking wet. I didn't cut weight or anything. And he. Had to make 206, and he made 206. So
that makes
sure
sense.
He hydrated up to whatever.
Now, didn't he throw you out of the octagon or out of the ring or something?
He threw me out of the ring. Yeah, sure did. Picked me up when I had him in a triangle. Had him in a triangle like probably five or six times. Nissan, he just picked me up and slammed me, so I didn't learn my lesson. I just kept trying anyway. And just picked me up and had me over at the turnbuckle and just kind of dumped me over into my corner's arms, and they just kind of pushed me back up underneath the rope. And I'm like, hold on a second, let me fucking breathe a little bit. Don't push me in right now, jeez. So yeah, they just pushed me back in there and get after him. All right.
I mean, was there a point where you're like, you're getting thrown out of the ring by Rampage in your first MMA fight where you're like, what did I do with my life?
No, I just thought, I'm going to get you, dude. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you.
Did you really give up 36 pounds in that fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did. I actually had a few more fights before that, but I couldn't remember names and all that, so Sure Dog didn't, you know, they want to honor it, which I don't blame them. I couldn't tell you what any of those guys' names were. I forget.
That's
but only about five fights before that.
That's... freaking amazing, though. That's an amazing story, man. That's like my worst nightmare, being thrown out of a ring by Rampage and have my corner put me back in.
Put you back in. When you got slammed, when you had him in the triangle, was it like a la Ricardo Arona when he was picking up Ricardo Arona and slammed him like over his head?
Was he it was like that, but each time that he was picking me up, I'd kind of extend my body you know, where my head would be closer to the mat. I wasn't staying locked on where he would get any where,
right.
where I wouldn't get, you know, slammed too hard. But I did earn some freaking flyer miles on that fight for sure.
Is there any video of you getting thrown out of the ring by Rampage?
You know, I think my mom probably has.
Can you give us her number real quick?
Somewhere. Stored in our old box somewhere.
Yeah,
it probably exists somewhere, but I don't know where the hell it is.
You got to post that, man. You got to, that would be an epic thing. I would love to see that. I mean, not that I want to see you get thrown out of the ring by Rampage.
What?
That's pretty funny, man. So you go from Rampage to John Fitch, which is like going from meth.
Yep.
It's going from meth to Ambien. and then you beat John Fitch. You beat John Fitch, and then you fought a guy named Tony Danza. Were you worried that
you're Tony Danza?
Yeah.
Who is the boss?
Did you think you were fighting Tony Danza at that time or no?
It's funny, Tony.
No. Yeah. I didn't know who I was going to fight, but I was ready.
You were ready. So you were like, were you waiting for Mona and Angela to show up?
Mona, no,
whatever
Angela.
It could have been TBA. You know that guy everybody fights, TBA?
Yeah.
That guy gets around.
Yeah, TBA sounds like the STD I get after I bang. Anyway, so
you trailed off there. I didn't catch the last.
Now everyone always says that in the gym you are the greatest fighter of all time.
Greatest fighter of all time. I'll be damned.
That's what Joey Varner said. Joey Varner and actually Frank Trigg too. They say that's why I think people aren't surprised when you go out and like. Dominate some of these guys because they know what you're capable of. What do you think has been the turning point?
I don't know, man. I've always been a late bloomer with everything, no matter what it is. I just think that, you know, as you get older, you become wiser. I'm just becoming more wise about my training, my approach to training, and my overall health and mental preparation for fights, things like that. Just I think it's just a matter of, you know, getting older and evolving. You know, I just think I was a little slow at it at first, and you know, it's either piss or get off the pot.
Right. I mean, it's great to see. I mean, it's great to see a guy who's 50 years old like yourself. finally coming to his own, you know. I mean,
I know, right?
I mean, when you were in your prime, the mullet was actually a real hairstyle. So it's
I'm just entertaining that joke. It wasn't even that funny. I'm just laughing because.
Thank you.
The courtesy laugh. Thank you.
That's story of like my life actually. now your wife is super hot. Now you got her online or something? Or where did
standing,
you?
She's standing here naked right now.
Nice.
At Walmart.
What's that?
At Walmart.
No. I got kicked out of Walmart. Remember?
Yes. Now, T-Rex, no one gets your inside joke if you don't explain to everyone why the Walmart's funny. Everyone's just like, that's stupid. But T-Rex, it's an inside joke between Mike Pyle. That's all I'm going to say. All right, so now your wife, now she is, I met your wife. She's super hot, but she doesn't speak English. Is that correct?
Oh, man, that's a woman of my dreams.
Oh, yeah, she speaks English.
But where is she from? She's from Europe, right?
Yeah, she's from Europe. She's from Siberia originally, moved to Lithuania when she was just a toddler, and then to Bellingham, Washington when she was 12. Her parents actually won the green card lottery. Can you believe that?
Wow.
How's that?
That's a real thing?
Yeah, in other countries they have a lottery. You can win a green card to get out of the country.
Is that the truth?
That's
talk
the truth.
About life changer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google that shit. It's
no,
real.
Google that shit, son.
Yeah. So what's up with people with? All right. So now where did you meet? And do her parents like you, or how did you pick up this beautiful Siberian woman?
Well, I was actually Who was it? It was Kendall Grove at an after party, invited me, and she was a cocktail waitress at Jet. It's a club here in Vegas. For those of you guys like you that sit in a room and write shit on paper all day long.
That's at MGM, right?
Yeah, no, that's at Mirage.
That's what I meant.
Like I was saying, so met her there. She was our waitress. And then I made her fall in love with me.
I mean,
some people call that a roofie.
I let her touch the mullet, and that was it.
Really? You went up to her? Now, did she know you were a fighter? Or, I mean...
I think she kind of might have known, you know, because I still had my MMA gloves on when I was in there. So she might have
had what a dick.
She might have just thought I was a fighter or something. But no, not really. We didn't really. Actually, Joey Varner tried to make friends with her, and they exchanged numbers, and he invited her over to one of our UFC parties, and she came over with one of her friends, and she saw me and pushed Joey by his face out of the way.
He mushed him. Over.
That was me.
Wow, that, I'm sure Joey would probably have a different version of the story. So all right, so you got this girl, you got this hot girl. Now, does she get nervous for you when like you fight? I mean, being from Siberia.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You know, it's always a bit, you know, nervy for anybody watching, you know, that cares about you, because there's a chance that you can get pretty messed up. You know, if you're not paying attention. I mean, a little nervous, but she's pretty tough.
I actually wanted to have a show called The Real Housewives of MMA, starring Brian Caraway. So,
oh my god!
I thought that would be pretty funny.
Hold on,
it's pretty damn funny.
What is it? What?
I wanted to have a show called The Real Housewives of MMA, starring Brian Caraway. I thought that would be a funny show. Maybe not.
He's not even laughing, not even a wow.
Are you listening?
Nothing.
Yeah, that was already attempted.
Is this thing on? So
you know Jake Ellenberger's here, right?
Yes. Yeah. All right. Now
you gotta be better than that if you ever want to get on Tonight Show again.
Wow, it's true. It's true. Well, actually, it's a good point. Now, so you got this. Now, were you a player beforehand? Because you seem kind of like you got this. You're a very funny guy. You got like a Southern twang. Did you get a lot of chicks before your girl from Siberia?
I mean, I've had fun in life. I've got to venture the world and let different chicks of different ethnics hold my penis.
And different ethnics hold my penis.
How many different chicks of different ethnics held your penis?
Well, I mean, how many are there, Adam?
Okay, all right. Well, let's go through the ethnicities.
Chinese, black, white, and Spanish. That's it.
There's more than that. So have you had a lot of threesomes?
I've lived a pretty cool life, man, before I got tied up and married. I'll just say that. I got
a cool life.
Lot of fun and see a lot of shit, man. A lot of partying in Europe. I lived in Europe for a couple of years, so I got to do a lot of cool things. You know, made up for a lot of experiences that I didn't get to experience living in a one horse town, and then all of a sudden I'm let loose in Europe. So you can only imagine what kind of things I could have gotten into. So yeah, I mean, I had fun.
Wait,
and then you screwed it up and got married.
Wait, yeah, forget to hold on 1 second. one second, T-Rex. So where in Europe did you live in, and at what years?
I believe the year would have been 2000, the middle of 2001 to about middle of 2003, right in there. I lived in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Wow, that's a great place to live.
I met a Danish guy at my fight with Fitch. That was here in Vegas. He had a Muay Thai gym, and you know, and that's, you know, the stand up kickboxing or sitting down kickboxing. I don't know why I said stand up kickboxing, but the kickboxing and or the stand up game over there is big. So he come up to me. He's like, "Hey, what do you think about coming out, staying, you know, for a month or two at my place, teaching grappling, and in return, I'll, you know, teach you what I know." I said, "Well, I can't right now, but a friend of mine probably would like to do that." And so I turned him on to a friend of mine. Long story short, he came back. I went back and took his position and stayed there for 2 years.
Wow.
Instead of a couple months. Yeah. So it was pretty rad, dude. I mean, it was a beautiful country.
People are cool as hell there.
And the thing about it is, when you live over there, you know, we get in the car and we can drive to Arizona and we're in the United States or California, whatever. You get in a car, drive 4 or 5 hours, you're in another country, a complete different language. So you could go and just drive to, you know, all these different places, and it was just super awesome.
Holland.
I went to
Germany,
to England, but you can't drive.
You can't drive there.
I mean, but it's still, Poland, drove to Poland a few occasions for snowboarding trips and,
wow,
and just to hang out in small villages with a teammate of mine, and that was just super cool, dude. I mean,
rode it with all them dear Polacks there.
So you've lived, man. Now, changing the topic a little bit, I know you own a gym in Syndicate in Vegas, correct? Or you don't own it, but you run it or something?
No, I train there.
You train there.
A good close friend of mine, John Wood, he owns it.
Now, and I know that you're a really good trainer. Jake just signed the fight to fight Robbie Lawler. What would you tell Jake to do against Robbie?
Stand in the pocket.
I'd tell Jake to punch Robbie right in his jaw. Punch him right in the jaw and let gravity take care of the rest.
That's good advice.
So, I mean, that would be your... Okay, so you're training Jake.
Adam told me to come out with my chin up and just start swinging and see what happens.
Chin up, hands down, 2 to 3 feet out.
Really? I mean, that would be your advice? Come on, I know you're a good trainer. And so, Jake...
Going back to your thought, Pyle is one of the best guys... Excuse me. One of the best guys in the gym. Like, he... I remember last time I was at Syndicate, I just got my ass whooped in training by Pyle.
Really?
Yeah, just...
Don't tapping my shit.
I'm not. I'm being serious. He's
phenomenal. There was this one time I was fought in the octagon and this kid Jake Elmberger whooped my ass.
You know what? I didn't want to bring that up because it is kind of awkward in a way, you know.
No, but after that fight we actually became good friends, and it's
yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah. He's hilarious. Great guy. We've trained quite a bit together.
Now, did you train with Jake? Did you train with Pyle before that fight? Have you trained with him before that fight?
No.
Okay, it was afterwards.
Not before.
Now, is that weird, though, Pyle? Like, Jake walks into the gym. You know that Jake beat you in the fight. Is that weird training with him afterwards? Then, like you said,
No, not at all, because of Jake's attitude. You know, that changes everything. Like, if I fought, I don't know, whoever that has, you know, an attitude,
chip on a shoulder,
or just think that they're a Billy Badass or whatever. Jake's a cool cat, very humble, we both had a job to do that night, and he did his better, and that's just the way it is. I mean, I don't hold a grudge over signing a contract to go and try to make money and lose and hold it against him. You know what I mean?
Right.
If anything, it's mistake that I made, and you know, it is what it is.
That's a very mature attitude.
Now, after the fight, you know, if you'd have been the cocky, you know, prick about everything, of course it'd be like, you know, it wouldn't be too much of a welcoming visit, yeah. I'm sure. But like I say, complete professional and cool cat. So that makes all the difference in the world.
Well, I like you, Pyle, man. You're an honest guy. I like how you said different girls, some different ethnics held your penis. It was
now, I like different girls.
Now, who do you want to call out? A lot of people come on our show. They call people out. Anybody you want to call out in your weight division?
No, not really. I'm there's matchups there that I like. I'd like to be. I wouldn't mind fighting Kim. Long Dong Kim. What his name is?
Long Dong Kim. I think that's his name.
That's from 16 Candles.
Yeah, that dong is strong.
Long Dong Dong.
So you want to see the dong? All right. So.
Yeah, that's a matchup I'd be interested in, you know.
You versus Long Dong.
Long Dong Silver.
All right, so you're calling out Long Dong Kim. Is there anybody else you want except for the dong?
Dong?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fight that I'm interested in. I mean, like I say, I'm not calling out anybody, but if in the rankings, that's, you know, it makes sense.
What about Hector Lombard or Nick Diaz or anybody's?
I don't think Nick's fighting, is he?
I don't know. The word is he might come back. He might not.
It sounds like he is. I don't know.
Well, yeah, whatever.
You can find out if he answers his phone.
You what?
What?
Nothing. T-Rex has the best timing. Whenever that somebody responds, he talks. It's always it's a really good system we have here.
yeah.
So, all right. So, Long Dong Kim. You heard it here first. Mike Pyle. Dong. Wants to fight Long Dong Kim.
Long Dong Kim.
Long Dong Kim.
Dong Young Kim.
Dong Young Kim. That's his name. It's not Long. It's not Long Dong Kim. But you wanna fight him too. You wanna fight. You'll fight anybody. Long Dong Kim.
That's, Cyborg is Long Dong Kim.
Yes. Well, Pyle, thanks for coming on, man. Anything you want to plug or?
No, I plug T-Rex mouth so we can have a conversation.
Yes. All right. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on, Pyle.
Hey, guys. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure. T-Rex, cool to meet you the other night and all that.
Yeah, you too.
And good hollering at you again, Jake. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. Not good to hear from you, brother.
Pyle, it's a pleasure, man. I'm a huge fan, dude. Huge fan.
Maximus.
All right, take care, man.
Yeah, hey, you know, and I hate I wouldn't be able to make that trip that you had offered, man. That sounds so cool, dude. One day I'm going to do that, though.
Yeah, but if Mike Pyle's talking, I'm helping booking a military tour, and they want military fighters, so I thought Pyle would be perfect. And they want UFC fighters to go overseas, and I don't. Yeah, Pyle's got a fight coming up, so he couldn't do it. So that's what he's talking about. But yeah, as soon as after you beat Long Dong, we'll definitely get you out there, brother.
All right, bro. I'll let you guys later.
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 Later. I gotta get going. I gotta go to court. I got a settlement to deal with.
Ooh.
I do have to go to court, right?
Yeah,
I gotta be there at 3. So we are gonna wrap it up. Thank you, Fox Sports. Jake, anything you wanna plug?
No, follow me on Twitter, Ellenberger MMA. Thank you, Fox Sports. MMA Roasted Podcast. Yeah.
Same with me, MMA Rosa Podcast, ToddRex.com, ToddRex. That's at Twitter and on Facebook. And yeah, man, holla.
Thank you, Fox Sports, Adam Comedian, and at MMA Roasted. I will be at the John Lovitz Comedy Club this Saturday night, John Lovitz, and then I'm going to be in Texas in El Paso next week or in 2 weeks. So
I want to add, this is DJ. I want to thank that fan that said I should have my own podcast and that I ask better questions than Adam.
Thank you for saying that, Mr. Schrope.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Follow me at DJ Schrope.
Thank you. And T-Rex, if you want to interrupt anybody, interrupt DJ when he's talking. That's exactly. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, everybody, for having our show.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.